Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 25th day of August 2021. And I am thrilled to be continuing a discussion on a topic that has proven to be one of my favorite topics ever addressed on this program. The topic is proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians, which we began over a month ago here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with my guest, who is also one of my favorite guests of all time, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. He is an author and pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
And it's a real honor to be on your program again, Chris.
And I appreciate your prayers and the prayers of your lovely bride, Becky, for me and my family in the wake of losing my oldest brother, John, last week, who went home to be with the Lord for eternity at 76. And I thank the Lord that he made credible professions of faith during the final weeks of his life.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen. By the way, folks, this is part five in our series of discussions on proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. Last time we conducted the interview, we accidentally labeled it as part five, but in reality it was part four. This is part five today. And if you have questions about proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians, send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us a first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Now, as we always do, to refresh the memories of our listeners, or for those hearing you the first time, to introduce them to Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, tell us about that church.
We are a congregation of about 60 people in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. We're about 5 years old. Our people come from all kinds of walks of life and background and locations, and they are by and large conscientious Christians who know why they're there, seeking to be faithful to God in their everyday life. Our church, like our denomination, is strongly committed to the historic Reformed faith. And our doctrinal statement is the original Westminster Confession of Faith and larger, shorter catechisms written in the 1640s. We're committed to evangelism, the Great Commission. We are committed to world missions. We're committed to Christian education. In fact, I don't think there's any child in our church that goes to public school. They all go to homeschool or to Christian schools.
Wow.
And it is a privilege to be their pastor.
Praise God. Well, if anybody wants to find out more information about this wonderful church in Cumming, Georgia, it is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Now tell us a bit about the monumental work that you accomplished writing of a, let's see, I believe it is a 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism called Authentic Christianity. Tell us about that.
Yes, sir. In the late 20th century and the early 21st century, I preached about 400 sermons on the Westminster Larger Catechism to our people, because it not only contains a very clear and accurate statement of the historic Christian faith, it also has not only great systematic theology, but it has very practical ethical teachings in it that helps us know how to live the Christian life. So I decided I had all these notes that in my file. So in the 90s, I decided I was going to have, I think in the 90s, I was going to have them published. So we've gone through 2 publications of these commentaries. The first was 5 volumes, the second is 8 volumes. And God has been very gracious in causing them to sell. My opinion, it's one of the best ways to discipline yourself to learn the Christian faith, how various truths relate to each other. It shows you how to have a Christian worldview that's consistent, and it also gives you moral principles from the Word of God to help you govern the decisions you make. You can get it from WestminsterCommentary.com.
WestminsterCommentary.com. Now, tell us about the website of your elder, Tim Renshaw, ComprehensiveChristianity.com.
All right, let me tell you one other thing about my commentaries. That is, Bill Potter, whom you had on your show
yes.
a few days ago, wrote an introduction to it. So that's one of the best things in the book. But the second website, second site is called ComprehensiveChristianity.com. That's owned by an elder in our church, Tim Renshaw, who spends all of his time going through all of my papers and manuscripts and scanning them and editing them and publishing them, both as e-books and as paperbacks. You can get them, you can see them. Some are free. Most definitely get the free ones. Called ComprehensiveChristianity.com. I have a 600-page commentary on the book of Genesis. I have a book on worship. I have a book on liberation theology. I also have a published 8-volume set of books called, I think, A Comprehensive Study of the Bible, in which I have a lengthy chapter on each of the books of the Bible.
Great. So that's ComprehensiveChristianity.com, and hopefully we will have time and remember to repeat those websites later on in the program. Well, we are now entering into part 5 of the proper heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. Where in history have we arrived at this point in part 5?
Well, in the first 4 parts, we went not only in early church history and medieval history, but largely in the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, which was a world largely influenced by the Protestant Reformation. But coming with the 1800s, we enter another world. We enter into a world that is still influenced by the Protestant Reformation, believe it or not. Many of the great blessings that we still experience in this country, we experience because of the faithfulness of the godly men and women that lived in the 15, 16, 1700s. But that influence is dwindling. And we now live in a world of an age of anti-heroes, by and large. Now, I have many heroes in the 1800s, and that's where I'd like for us to look today. I have many heroes in the 1800s in all kinds of enterprises. For instance, the greatest missionary enterprise in history began in the 1800s, led by men of the Reformed faith. There were great heroes in the pulpit. There were great heroes that started new seminaries, to teach young men the Word of God in its purity, unmixed. There were heroes in wars, heroes in as martyrs. People don't realize how many martyrs there were, particularly in the late 20th century and the early 21st century. In fact, people today are even speaking of Christian genocide in the day in which we live. And there were people in all kinds of endeavors that that are meaningful, very important to me. Some of them famous, some of them not famous. But basically, it's an age of anti-heroes. That was impressed upon me. I already knew it somewhat, but it was impressed upon me in the late 1980s with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989. 1989 was also the commemoration of the French Revolution in 1789. And Gorbachev had not left office yet, but I can remember Gorbachev saying, and he was the head of the Soviet Union, that we live, and he was thanking God, not thanking God, but he was very grateful for the fact that we live, as he said, in a world created by the French Revolution. Well, I would expect him to say such a thing. But then George Bush, the daddy, in 1989, gave a speech in which he said the same thing, very thankfully, that he was thankful we live in a world created by the French Revolution of 1789. And they were exactly right. And that's why this is an age largely of anti-heroes. There has been a war in the West throughout the past 2.5 centuries between the Reformation and the Revolution. And right now, the Revolution has a dominant effect on the West, but someday that Revolution will burn itself out, and the Reformation will come back to the fore in greater dominance than it's ever been before. Now, why do I say we live in a world created by the French Revolution? Even though we had a War of Independence in 1776, and we talked about this last time, and the French had a revolution in 1789, they're two entirely different wars. Our War of Independence was a war of self-defense, defending a Christian social order from the broken covenants of a despotic king of England. The French Revolution was the first war of its kind in history because its purpose was to eradicate Christianity from France. Once France and Europe started turning from the historic Christian faith in the early 1700s, that war was inevitable. Whenever a culture leaves its base of Christianity for another, there will always be bloodshed. You can document that over and over and over and over again. You had what's called the Enlightenment in the early 1700s, and that guaranteed that there would be bloodshed at the end of that century. So they promised the world, the anti-Christians promised the world, everybody thinks it was just a war against the aristocrats by the peasants, but it was far more important than that, as important as that was. And that the promise was fraternity, equality, and liberty. If France left its Christian base. But once you leave a Christian base, you can't produce fraternity, liberty, those things, unity. The French Revolution produced Napoleon Bonaparte. It produced the beginning of an era of totalitarianism that is documented by the great book called Modern Times. And you can study East or the West. And the 19th and 20th centuries was an era with the rise of dictators all over the world. You see it in Germany, you see it in Japan, you see it in Russia, you see it in China, you saw it with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That I highly recommend the book modern times. And, but anyway, so throughout the, from the 1800s on up to this day, the war has been ferocious. Today, it's never been more ferocious than today. And my prayer for the young people in the Church of God is to drop their anti-heroes. What I see who many, many Christian young people have as heroes, they admire, they want to dress like and talk like, I mean, it just breaks my heart. We need heroes. We need men and women that are faithful, even when it's hard to be faithful, so that we can be inspired by their bravery, their courage, so that we can imitate them when they're right, and we can avoid the mistakes that they made so that we won't make them again. So one of the reasons I wanted to do this whole series is just to show people, and particularly young people, that there are many, many godly heroes out there that are worthy of our attention and our education. I have a big library down in my basement, and I look at these books, and just looking at the books, the theology books or the biography books or the history books, or just looking at the title of the books is encouraging to me, because I've studied the lives of these men and women, and they have encouraged me when sometimes I've been in the minority. So we live in an age of anti-heroes, and because of the French Revolution. That French Revolution in the 1800s spread slowly at first and then rapidly. It started with Unitarianism, the departure of New England from the historic Christian faith, and its embracing of Unitarianism that denied any revelation from God, that denied the deity of Christ, that denied the depravity of man. It believed in the goodness of man and believed the role of civil government was to create a utopia and to perfect man by control of society and education, hence socialism. By 1830, that philosophy and others like it, Romanticism and the like, that philosophy had conquered New England, so that the Reformed Church was a very weak minority by the early 1800s. There's a great book on this subject but by my friend Mr. Singer, who called the theological development of American history. That's not the name, but that's the subject. And it is a very useful book to show how philosophically the West fell. But it wasn't falling fast enough for the anti-Christians. And so you have the war between the states. And the war between the states, and though I lived in Georgia, I was born in West Virginia. And, you know, West Virginia seceded from the South and joined the North, and I grew up in a home where there was a bust or picture of Abraham Lincoln in every room. So this is not simply a partisanship on my part. This is has been a major study of mine through the years.
By the way, I just want to interrupt for a second. Were you speaking of C. Greg Singer's book, A Theological Interpretation of American History?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, he was a great man, lived to be up in his 90s. I heard him lecture one time when he was in his 90s. He lectured for over an hour without a note. I pray that someday I'll be able to do that. But anyway, so the Civil War was our French Revolution. There were all kinds of secondary issues that caused the war. There was tariffs. There was control of the Mississippi River. There was regionalism. There was racial slavery. There were all these secondary issues. But the primary issue, by those who really know history, whether they're conservatives or liberals, whether they're pro-North or pro-South, because they all share the same opinion, that this was a revolution, that the purpose of the movers and shakers in the North was to break the back of historic Christianity in the South, so it will no longer be a dominant factor on Washington, D.C., and so that the Unitarians could advance their socialist causes. In the South, it was basically the defense of historic Christianity. Now, that doesn't mean everybody was a theologian. That doesn't mean the average soldier in the North and South really understood what the thing was all about, but those who are in the know that the powers that be in the North, the Unitarian, had as their purpose to destroy a Christian order in the South. There's a great book on the subject written by a friend of mine. He's not living now, but he was a good man named Otto Stott. It's called The Secret Six. And in the book by Otto Stott, The Secret Six, he talks about these anti-heroes, these Unitarians in the North who financed bringing a terrorist by the name of John Brown into the South to create a revolution of slaves. Didn't work. Didn't happen. Things weren't like the Unitarians thought they were. First man John Brown killed when he was in the South was a black man. John Brown was a murderer and a terrorist. He and his sons had wiped out whole families with their swords out in Missouri, Kansas, that area. So they tried to create some reason to send armies into the South to crush the Christianity. And so in that book, Otto Stott gives names. It's well worth reading, The Secret Six. Well, we all know who lost that war. America. The South lost, of course, but it wasn't just the South that lost. We live in a world now that's a consistent application of the principles for which the Unitarians fought that war. We live in a Unitarian world and worse. We live in a communist world and worse, where God's law is not the basis of society or politics, where the pulpit now, instead of being a strong voice for historic Christianity, is generally, in our country, a voice for perversion and for Marxism and for anti-Christianity. So with the destruction of Christianity in the South, we've seen ever since war after war, I have a theory that most, if not all, of the wars that have been fought in the 18th and 19th century, the 20th century, and the 21st century are the outworkings of the arrival of the French Revolution in our country in 1861. And I think most, if not all, of the wars that we have fought have been ungodly. They have been toward the advance of power. They have been, in our words, unconstitutional because they were not wars of self-defense. They were wars for political goals. And so we have seen what happens when a culture leaves its Christian base to build itself upon a principle of revolt against God. And now we're seeing it work itself out more blatantly, more viciously, more cruelly than any other time in the past 200 years.
One thing I'd like to clarify is that although you believe that, and I'll use the Southerner term, as most of my friends who are conservative Christians and Southerners call it, the War of Northern Aggression. Although you were opposed, or are opposed to that, you are very vehemently opposed to the damnable sin of racism. You do not believe that chattel slavery was acceptable to God. In fact, I know that you share my opinion and Gary DeMar's opinion that the biblical command that anyone who kidnaps a man and sells him should be put to death would even apply to chattel slavery, since the origins of the slaves coming here involved that. But I just wanted to make that clear before any kind of wacky rumors.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you did, because I am against all forms of racial slavery. And I think that's one of the reasons that the South lost the war, as Dabney said, who was the adjutant general, Stonewall Jackson. He said one of the reasons he thought the South lost the war was because it would not commit itself to the preaching of Baptists and Presbyterians and Anglicans alike, who called for the reformation of slavery by the Word of God. And so the war, the primary motive of the war was not slavery. Robert E. Lee didn't believe in slavery. Ulysses S. Grant didn't free his slaves until after the war, passage of the amendment to the Constitution. So that's what we were taught. We were all taught that in public schools, because that makes it easier to deal with. And of course, Christians must realize that most of the history books that we've used in our educational life have been revisionist books.
In fact, can we pick up right there when we come back from our first break?
Yes, sir.
That's public school books or revisionist books. By the way, I just want to give a quick plug to solid-ground-books.com, one of our major sponsors. You could purchase the book that Dr. Moorcraft was commending earlier and recommending as well, A Theological Interpretation of American History by C. Greg Singer. You could get that from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, at a discount. And please mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnes and an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're going to be right back right after these messages. If you have a question, join us on the air by sending in an email to chrisarnsen@gmail.com. chrisarnsen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We will both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnes and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God,
singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and we are discussing Proper Heroes Put in Their Proper Place in the Lives of Christians, Part 5. And if you have questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. And before the break, you were talking about the revisionism of history that dominates most textbooks in the public schools today, and I would probably be correct in guessing in most parochial and private so-called Christian schools.
Yes, sir. In fact, the anti-Christians of the past 200 years or more have understood the importance of history more than we have, that is, Christians. Within the past 25 or so years, Christians are waking up to the importance of history. But our enemies understood that if you cut us down at the roots, the plant will die. And so in order to do that, they rewrote history. They made the bad guys look good, the good guys look bad. They tried to destroy, for instance, George Washington, who was a great man of integrity and a great evangelical Christian, as is proven in the 600-page book called Sacred Fire.
By Peter Lilback of Westminster Seminary.
Yes, sir. They tried to make Washington out of as a thief and a liar and as a deist. They want the bad guys to look good, the good guys to look bad. So, and they encourage anti-heroes. It's not accidental that they've encouraged anti-heroes in the lives of young people. Because if they can get young people to think that history's on the side of the anti-Christians, and they make the true view of history look foolish, they know they have the hearts and minds of our young people. And that's why it's been so important over the past 25, 35 years for Christians to recover history, to teach their children history. I have a series on sermonaudio.com that's free. I think it's called The History of the Reformed Faith. It's about 55 sermons that I gave to our church. They're not ivory tower lectures. They're about 55 sermons I gave to our church on the history of the church from the first century up through the 18th century. A lot of home schools use that as their history program, and I would encourage Christians to listen to that set. Young teenagers can understand it. So we must help our people see that history is on our side.
Amen.
The liberals, the anti-Christians keep trying to get our children to believe that if you believe what we believe, you're out of step with history. That is as far from the truth as you can get. That we're part of a stream that has been flowing of Christianity that's been flowing for 2,000 years or more. And sometimes it's been a great river, and sometimes it's been a trickling stream, but it's been there. And we've had our dark times, we've had our bright times. But our children must see that they are in a stream and have a heritage and a legacy that's not the legacy of those that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's not just one history of the United States. There's two. There's the history of the influence of Greek philosophy, Marxism, anti-Christian thought that dominates faith-supported schools. And then there is the history of historic Christianity that brought us to existence in the first place, and it's always been there and is undergoing a revival ever since the 1960s, has undergone a revival, and I believe in this country, this is not just wishful thinking, I believe in this country there are more pulpits preaching the historic Reformed faith than any time in the past 100 years or more. So I think we're going to go through dark times if we don't repent of our sins, but joy comes in the morning. And where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So I believe that as we're faithful, the next generation is going to be faithful, and God's going to keep that light burning down through our generations until it bursts into a bright flame again in this country, brighter than it ever was before. Well, let me talk about some of my heroes in the 1800s. Let me start with the early 1800s, and the World Mission Enterprise was an extraordinary thing. Missionaries were sent all over the world, and basically they were Reformed. They were Presbyterian, they were Baptist, they were Episcopalian, but basically they were Reformed, and we could talk all day about the great missionaries that went to India and Russia and all over, and Mediterranean and Africa and China and all over the world. But one of my favorites was a man named Daniel Lindley, L-I-N-D-L-E-Y. Daniel Lindley was from Western North Carolina. He was a missionary to Southern Africa for most of the 1800s. He raised a large family there. His wife was a close friend of the widow of Stonewall Jackson. His wife was an Allen, that was her last name. There was an adopted son in that family named Edgar Allen Poe. So it had all kinds of connections. And Daniel Lindley went to South Africa to minister to the Voortrekkers. That is, the Dutch Calvinists who wanted to leave Cape Town and that area and move inland and start their own Dutch Christian Republic in the Transvaal, or the old Republic of South Africa. The Dutch Reformed Church would not send any pastors to pastor these thousands of Dutchmen or Afrikaners that were trekking inward. But Daniel Lindley went. He even learned Dutch. He couldn't preach well in Dutch, but he learned Dutch, which was important. And he was the pastor to these thousands of Dutchmen, Afrikaners, that went in and established the Republic of South Africa. Then when other pastors started coming and to share the burden of ministering to these people, then he began his mission work in the Zulus, which is a gigantic tribe in Southern Africa that I have a great amount of admiration for. And so there's a town named Lindley, South Africa. There was a South African Airways commercial plane called the Daniel Lindley. I've talked to many Zulus who remember the name Daniel Lindley from the early 1800s, middle 1800s. One of the most important things Daniel Lindley was ever used of God to do was to disciple a young country boy who became the president of the old South African Republic, Paul Kruger. Paul Kruger was raised in the bush, but by the late 1800s, he was the president of this whole nation. And he was a godly man, and he was a Calvinist. And he said one time that if you ever want me to do, this is the president of the country, he said, if you ever want me to do something for you, all you have to do is mention in my presence the name Daniel Lindley. I've seen the pulpit Daniel Lindley preached in. I have a photograph of Daniel Lindley in my office. He trained Paul Kruger in the Christian faith, the Reformed faith. Of course, Kruger was also the member of a denomination that was Reformed. And Paul Kruger is one of my heroes, too, thanks to God's work on him through Daniel Lindley and others. I would recommend people read some good books about Daniel, about Paul Kruger. I've been on his front porch. He died about 1901 or thereabout. On his front porch, and in his living room, and the front porch was his presidential office, or in Dutch, his stoep, S-T-O-P. That's where he carried all his business. And in his living room, he had this gigantic Dutch Bible.
By the way, we used to call them stoops in New York, where I was raised.
I'm not surprised to hear that at all, since New York was established largely by the Dutch. So I'll never forget one time, Paul Kruger, everybody loved him. He was a famous old veteran. He was a great general. and the South Africans loved him. He was the president of South Africa during the Boer War, when about 1989 to 1901, when the British sent 450,000 trained troops to try to bring into submission 40,000 farmers. And, of course, the farmers lost because the British imprisoned their wives and children and burned their farms. And so Paul Kruger had to go into exile in Holland. But while he was president, he did some great things. He wasn't exactly correct in his political philosophy, but he thought he was. He thought he was ruling by the Bible. He loved the Bible. And so as a result, a lot of churches were built during his administration in South Africa. He considered South Africa his own. And so if you wanted to build an Orthodox church in South Africa, you go to the president and he would give you 2 acres of ground somewhere in South Africa. So he would just give them property. And then 2 Jewish rabbis came to President Kruger. And they said, sir, we understand that you're giving money to religious groups to start churches. And he said, yes. They said, well, we want to start a synagogue. Would you give us 2 acres of ground so we can build a synagogue? So he gets his big Bible. He sets it on the table. And he looks at the Jewish rabbis. And he said, do you believe this book? And they said, yes, sir. He said, do you believe all of this book? They said, no, sir, we just believe the Old Testament. He said, then I'm only going to give you 1 acre. and he said, when you believe the New Testament, I'll give you another acre. So they built their synagogue, and Kruger, though he was a Christian, was the president, they asked him to have the dedicatory prayer. So hundreds of people are there for the dedication of this Jewish synagogue. And the time comes on the program for President Kruger to give him dedicatory prayer. He was a great big man. And he held up his hands and prayed. He said, oh, Lord God Almighty, we dedicate this synagogue to the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And, of course, nobody said a word. And then it was during his administration they found all this gold in South Africa. So there was a young geologist, probably British, that had come to him and to tell him about how all this gold, these big strains of gold, came to be under the earth. Of course, he was an evolutionist and all that. So,
in fact, could you pick up your story right where you left off there? Because we have to go to our midway break.
Sure.
And you could obviously backtrack and get the full story in so our listeners know what you're talking about. Please, if you have a question for Dr. Moorcraft, send it to chrisarnsit@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. This is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, needs to take a longer break to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information provided by our advertisers as you possibly can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers, and we hope that very often you will buy their products and use their services and visit their churches and support their parachurch organizations. Please, at the very least, thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because we absolutely positively depend upon our advertisers to exist. So please respond to our advertisers, and also send in your questions to Dr. Moorcraft. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Dr. Moorcraft after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in his holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle All-In 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget that one of the many books available at solid-ground-books.com is the book that our guest was plugging earlier, was really highly praising earlier, A Theological Interpretation of American History by C. Greg Singer. Solid-ground-books.com has published their own edition of this work, and let me read a very powerful commendation for it by Pastor Fred Malone, a Reformed Baptist pastor in Clinton, Louisiana, who has been a guest on this program. He says, "History does not proceed without the ideas of men behind it, past, present, and future. Because of this, Greg Singer's book is a must-read for pastors and people who understand the ideas behind our American history. It is surprising to see how much Calvinism and Calvinistic leaders helped guide our country's founding and achieve stability and freedom, especially for religion. The book is also a challenge to teach sound doctrine in the church, to raise up faithful and thinking people to influence the ideas behind our future. And as I said, that was Pastor Fred Malone in Clinton, Louisiana. Let me just read to you some of the chapter headings. Deism in Colonial Life, Transcendentalism and the Rise of Modern Democracy, Social Darwinism, its Theological Background and Political Implications, the Social Gospel and its Political Effects in American Life, Theological Liberalism after 1920 and its Political Consequences, the New Deal and its Consequences, World War II and After, Conservatism and Liberalism, Theological and Political, their Ebb and Flow, and also others. If you'd like to order this book, go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and you can type the name Singer, S-I-N-G-E-R, into the search engine and keep scrolling until you see a theological interpretation of American history. Always remember to mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you order books from solid-ground-books.com. We need their financial support to survive, so please purchase from them frequently and generously, always mentioning this program. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish nothing but the finest in Reformed Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to my guest today, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, I just have some important announcements to make. Please continue praying not only for me and my family as we continue to grieve over the loss of my precious brother John, who went home to glory last week at 76 after a long bout with critical stage emphysema and more recently cancer and pneumonia. And I thank God that your prayers that my brother would make a credible profession of faith in Christ were answered. He, during the last weeks of his life, gave very clear evidence he was trusting in Christ to enter into heaven and Christ alone. So I thank God for that. But please pray for his widow, Jan, who is in the hospital. She has been in the hospital even prior to my brother's death. She has COVID and pneumonia and is in very serious critical condition. Pray for her as well, and pray for her salvation, and pray for our entire family. Also, folks, if you are a man in ministry leadership, I invite you to attend the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at the Bongiorno Conference Center, featuring our guest speaker, Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and founding chancellor of African Christian University. I am not exaggerating when I say that I believe he is the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth today. This is absolutely free of charge. Not only will you have free admission and be fed spiritually by Dr. Mbewe and fed physically by the Bongiorno Conference Center, you're also going to be going home with a heavy sack of brand new books, personally selected by me. Every publisher that donates books donates 100 copies of a book I select from them, so that every pastor can leave with a copy of that book. And we have most of the major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom donating every year going back to the 1990s to this luncheon. So this is going to be a wonderful time of feasting, fellowship, fun, rest, relaxation, and reviving in your faith. And I hope that every man listening in ministry leadership can find a way to Carlisle, Pennsylvania for this wonderful event, absolutely free of charge, founded by my precious late wife, Julie, back in the 1990s. And I have been conducting this every year, apart from a hiatus after my wife's passing. But we relaunched these luncheons when I relocated to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and have been conducting them ever since I moved here. I hope that you can join us. If you would like to join us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. chrisarnson@gmail.com, put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Also, if you love this show and you do not want us to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in checks the old-fashioned way through your local postal service, a physical address will also appear on your screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, where you can mail those checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you'd like to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. To give you an example, Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia has sponsored an ad campaign, which we are still awaiting those ads. And Dr. Moorcraft and I do have differences of opinion on certain things. He's a Presbyterian and I'm a Reformed Baptist, but I welcome his advertising because I agree with him on 99.999% of all things regarded to the scripture and salvation. So please send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line if you'd like to advertise. We are in urgent need, very urgent need of your donations and your advertising. Please help us if you want us to remain on the air. Also, folks, remember, I do not want anyone to ever siphon money away from the regular giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. I started this program with one key goal, to be a friend, a platform, a helping hand, and an extension of the local pastor and the local church. I never want to harm or hinder the local pastor and the local church in any way, including financially. So don't take money away from your church to give to us. Also, don't plunge your family into financial peril if you're really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at this time. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and family. Providing for my show is obviously not a command, but if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please help us. We need your funding. If you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have money for recreational purposes and trivial purposes, please share some of that with us. We need it. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are without a Bible-believing, biblically-faithful, Christ-honoring church home in your area, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically-faithful churches, including Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia. So if you are in that predicament of being anywhere on the globe and you do not have a biblically-faithful church that you're aware of in your area, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and I may be able to help you find a church. Sometimes within minutes from your home. I've helped many people in our audience all over the globe find churches very close to where they live. I may be able to help you too. Send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, whether you need a permanent home for a church or you are vacationing somewhere and need a church or you have a family, friend, or loved one who does not have a biblical church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. no matter where you live, and put, I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on proper Christian heroes put in their proper place in the lives of Christians. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before the break, you were talking about the discovery of gold in South Africa. If you want to backtrack a little bit, just so the story is in context.
Yes, sir. We were talking about what about heroes of the 19th century named Daniel Lindley, who was from Western North Carolina and was a missionary to South Africa for most of that century. And God used him to disciple Paul Kruger, who was the president of the South African Republic, the old Republic of South Africa in the late 1800s. People might know the name because that 1 ounce beautiful gold coin called the Krugerrand was named after Paul Kruger. And on the Krugerrand is the motto, national motto of South Africa, which is Soli Deo Gloria, glory be to God alone. And I was talking about some of the experiences of Paul Kruger, who was a Christian and a Calvinist, and gold was discovered in South Africa when he was president, and a geologist came to his office to tell him how gold was formed geologically over millions of years. And he was talking, and Paul Kruger believed the Bible, so he was talking about all these grains of gold that were formed over millions of years, and Paul Kruger stopped him and called into his house to his wife, who was in the kitchen, and he said, "Mother, I want you to come out here on my stoop and see a man who was there when God created the world." So he was a great man. And since we're in South Africa, I got three more heroes at least down there I want to talk about. And three of them are Zulus. And Zulu is a gigantic tribe in southern Africa, in South Africa. A large percentage of which, is Christian. And a large percentage of which the Christian group is from Reformed churches. But anyway, there was this man named Mayor Linda. Mayor Linda, L-I-N-D-A. He was the mayor of a township, black township, called Soweto. And he was a man that was, I'm about 6'4" and a half, and he was about 5'7" or 5'8", and weighed more than I do. And I weigh a lot. And he was a Christian. And he came to my church one time to preach, and preached a great sermon. He was in his house with his wife, and they were minding their own business. And the wife looked out the front door and saw all these Western cameramen standing on the sidewalk with their cameras pointed toward their house. And she asked Mary Linda what these people were doing there, and he had no idea. So they went back to doing whatever they were doing, and a few minutes later, their house was firebombed. They were neither killed, praise the Lord, but the problem is, all those cameramen were told beforehand about the bombing, but they did not tell Mary Linda that it was going to happen so they could have good stories tell on their various TV stations. Mary Linda was a real hero. I don't know whether he's still living or not. But he was a great hero. And the people that probably, allegedly, bombed his house were the African National Congress. Now, back in those days, the African National Congress was a terrorist group. And one of the leading terrorists of the African National Congress was Nelson Mandela. Mandela is an anti-hero. He's not living now. But he was an anti-hero who was put in prison for 7 years because he was found guilty, 27 years, because he was found guilty in a court of law of trying to kill several thousand black and white people. The bombs, the papers, everything were found in his house. And then there was so much pressure put on by the West that they let him out of prison, and he became president of South Africa, and he was a communist. And it was his organization, African National Congress, that allegedly bombed Mary Linda's house. And then once Mandela became president, it became the dominant political party in the South African parliament. There was another great Zulu by the name of King Buthelezi. Buthelezi, there were various kings in the Zulu culture, and Buthelezi was one of the most important. I met him at least once, gave him my book on politics. He was so popular before the rise of Mandela. He was so popular that whenever he would announce he's coming to a certain area to give his lecture, thousands upon thousands of people would come and stand in the hot South African sun to hear Chief Buthelezi give a speech that lasted a couple hours. And he was on a TV station in Atlanta, Georgia one time to show you what kind of Christian he was. Wise as well as a dedicated Christian, Episcopalian. He was being interviewed by this very, very liberal black woman on a TV station in Atlanta. And she had no use for Buthelezi. She was pro-Mandela, pro-Marxist. But Mandela was a gentleman with her to a fault, almost. He would continue to call her my sister and was very respectful. And she was not respectful toward him at all. And so she asked him. She said, "Mr. Buthelezi, you say you believe in freedom, democracy, and all those things. If you really believe in those things, why don't you lay down your crown as king of Zulus?" This was on a television program. He looked at it and he said, "My sister, I shall." 10 minutes after Queen Elizabeth lays down hers. Then there was a third Zulu named Mabasu. Mabasu was raised out in the bush. He was raised in a hut. In the middle of these huts was a pen with a goat, and that goats were their currency. And his daddy was a petty chief, had more than one wife. So, and they were pagans. And so Mabasu decided he wanted to go to the big city of Johannesburg to make a living and to live a high life. They lived out in the bush, hundreds of miles away from Johannesburg, thousands of miles away culturally. But Zulus honor their parents to a fault. They worship their ancestors. So he had to go and get his daddy's permission to go to Johannesburg. So his daddy lived in this main hut. Mabasu calls into the hut, and in the middle of the hut's fire, and the old daddy's sitting cross-legged on the other side of the fire with his loincloth and his necklace. And across his lap, he has an assegai, which is a spear that's not thrown. It's used like a sword. And Mabasu asked his daddy's permission if he could go to Johannesburg and make a living. And the old daddy said, "Yes, you have my permission." And then the old daddy raised his assegai and said, "But if you become a Christian, I'll plunge this through your heart." Well, Mabasu had no intentions of becoming a Christian. He wanted to live a wild life. So he goes to Johannesburg and he opens a mechanic shop and he makes some money and he lives a wild life. And then when you know it, in the sovereignty of God, God saves him and makes a Christian out of him. And now he's got to go back. He's insulted his daddy. And now he's got to go back and ask his daddy's forgiveness. As long as he was in Johannesburg, he was safe because the old father would never leave the bush. So this is years later, and he goes back to his father's hut. There's the old man sitting there, a lot older, asks a guy across his lap. So Mabasu crawls into his daddy's hut, kneels before him, tears open his shirt, and says, "Father, I have become a Christian," and waits for his father to kill him. To make a long story short, he eventually led his father and his brothers to Christ.
Praise God.
And he became a preacher. And I've heard him preach.
Wow.
And he was a powerful preacher, but I couldn't understand a word he said because he preached in Zulu. But I knew it was powerful. And I took great pride in the fact that Mabasu would wear my ties. I'd send him my ties, and he would wear them when he preached. He died in February, I think, 2021. He preached, so I could go on all day talking about great Zulus. And Zulus were martyrs. Many, many Zulus were killed, butchered, tortured, because they would not bow to communism. And the way they tortured them was pathetic. They would plow their hands together with barbed wire. Then they put an automobile tire around their neck. And then they would fill the automobile tire with gasoline and set it on fire.
Wasn't Winnie Mandela involved in some of that?
Oh, yes, sir, she was. And in fact, Winnie Mandela said, with our, I forgot what they called it, a necklace, some kind of necklace. Necklacing. With our necklaces, we shall conquer South Africa. In other words, she was recommending it. And that was Mandela's wife. And the same time she was in Atlanta giving her speech to liberal churches was when Mary Linda was at our church telling the story about Winnie Mandela and the necklacing.
Wow.
But many, many Zulus were tortured to death and killed.
That clearly obliterates the nonsense and the lie from the pit of hell that to be opposed to Nelson Mandela means you're a racist because of the fact that many victims of Mandela were indeed black.
I know. Mandela was from a smaller tribe in Zulus called the Xhosa, Xhosa, and there's a click there which I can't pronounce. It is not nearly the dignified tribe as the Zulus. The interesting thing about when Mandela formed his cabinet, most of the cabinet members were members of his tribe. But the Zulus were so large and so powerful that he figured he ought to have somebody from the Zulus on his cabinet. So he chose as his minister of prisons a man, a Zulu, whom he thought would be sympathetic with him. But he was an Episcopal priest, a good friend of mine, anti-Mandela, and he served on Mandela's cabinet for several years. I'm trying to think of his name. It's a Zulu name, and I can't think of it. I'm wanting to say Pono Simbizi, but that's another one of my Zulu heroes, who whenever I went to South Africa, he was my interpreter. He knew about 11 or 12 African languages. He knew 8 European languages. And I would often throw technical words in while I was preaching down there to see if I could stump him. And he never slowed down. I mean, he knew English, he knew Dutch, German, French. He was a great man. And then he got Lou Gehrig's disease and was completely paralyzed for 20-some years, lived longer than anybody I've ever heard of with that disease. He couldn't move a muscle. The only thing he could move was his eyeballs. That's it, nothing else. And so you didn't know whether anybody was home in his body or not. So somebody got him a computer with a program that you could use your eyes to write things. The way you looked, blinking, and all those things. I don't know how to tell you. But with his eyes, he would write spiritual articles and devotions for people to use as their daily devotions, even while he was lying there without being able to move a muscle.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Johnny Farisi, the late Johnny Farisi, F-A-R-E-S-E. He at one time was the host of the largest Reformed Baptist church directory, which still exists on the internet. I just don't know if it's still the largest. But Johnny Farisi had the same situation where he had some kind of degenerative disease that left him only able to move his eyes, and he also had that computer program. I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was identical to that, but it was one that could follow his eye movement, and he was able to compile this website and create it with his eyes.
Unbelievable. So I could keep telling you about Zulus, and in fact, I will tell you one thing that's neither here nor there, but you know, when you go visit somebody in a foreign country, it's always good to take them a gift, a present. So when I would go to South Africa and I would spend any time with the Zulus, the one thing that the Zulus, like Bono Zimbizi, wanted, the one thing they wanted was a Confederate battle flag. Now, you ask why. Why in the world would a Zulu want a Confederate battle flag? And they pin them up in their house. And I asked you that. And he said, it's because in the 20th century, that's when this took place, the battle of your civil war is the same as the battle we're fighting. It is a battle for the survival of Christianity confused by racism.
Wow.
And I thought it was a pretty wise statement. Well, since we're talking about people of African descent in the 19th century, another one of my heroes was Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington was a slave and then became one of the most educated men and polished men of his generation, black men, obviously. And I think every American ought to read his book, it's a short paperback, Up from Slavery. Modern Black Lives Matter and the like don't like Booker T. Washington, because he didn't believe in slavery to the state either. And he tried his best to get the former slaves to quit depending upon the state, but to show initiative and to work for themselves and make a living and get a good education. And whereas people today like Jesse Jackson and the like think that Jamestown was a great racist establishment, which it wasn't. There, Booker T. Washington went to a commemoration of Jamestown in the middle of 1800s and gave the leading speech, the main speech. I had the privilege one time of giving the main speech at the commemoration of Jamestown when a monument was erected there. And so I looked up Booker T. Washington's speech, and it was great, and it was overtly Christian. So he founded the Tuskegee Institute to train black young black men. And, of course, George Washington Carver, another black man, taught there and was the great teacher how to use peanuts in the South to create a whole new industry and to give people jobs. So these are just some of the heroes in the 19th century. Now, we just happen to talk mostly about black heroes, but there are great black people in the 19th century that our black friends must get to know to wean them off of people, womanizers and heretics like Martin Luther King. I'll tell you a story about Martin Luther King. That is true.
In fact, could you tell that story when we come back, because we have to go to our final break?
Sure.
Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Why can't we see God? How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday? Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic.
Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. And Dr. Moorcraft, you had a story that you wanted to tell that unfortunately gives the darker side of the character of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who is universally upheld as a hero. If you could continue.
Yes, sir, because I want to warn people about anti-heroes as well as heroes. And it saddens me whenever I see preachers sing the praises of Martin Luther King, or where Martin Luther King is looked upon as a hero. I'm thankful to God for whatever he did to enhance the civil rights of black Americans. But several years ago, right the year that he died, I was at a party at this lady's house. Becky and I were there. Back in those days, we were the youngest people there. She was an older woman. And I was stuck in her library with a man I didn't know. And he was not talkative, so I had to carry the conversation. And it was during the time Martin Luther King died. So I said to this man, I introduced myself to him, and I said, you know, it's interesting that Martin Luther King has his papers locked up, wanted all of his papers locked up for 50 years so nobody could see what he really wrote. I said, but a friend of mine, Congressman Larry McDonald, put in the Congressional Quarterly some of the information in those papers, including that two or three of his first lieutenants were actual communists who funneled money from the Soviet Union to Martin Luther King. I said, but I can't think of those men's name. And this man in the room said, oh, you mean so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. I said, yes, sir. Did you read the article? He said, no. He said, whatever's locked up in Washington, D.C., there's a carbon copy of it in my attic, because I'm the FBI agent that was instructed by Attorney General Bobby Kennedy to listen to everything that Martin Luther King said on the telephone for 2 years. He said, so for 2 years, I listened to everything he said. I wrote it down. I put it in a file and laid it on the desk of President John Kennedy in the Oval Office. Kennedy called Martin Luther King into the office and said, Martin, you got to get rid of these communists or you're going to ruin our civil rights movement. And according to this FBI agent, Martin Luther King just laughed at him in contempt and walked out of the Oval Office. So I said to this man, I said, well, what do you know about Martin Luther King? He said, whatever you want to know. So I made an appointment to go to his house. And he told me everything he'd learned for 2 years about Martin Luther King. His Hegelianism, his women, that he was a very active womanizer.
In fact, even the liberal supporters
very strong supporters of Martin Luther King Jr. and his legacy admit that now very openly.
That is true. And so he kept telling me things, and finally I had to leave, and I get in my car, and as I'm going down the street, I noticed through my rearview window there was a van that I noticed when I pulled in, but I didn't think anything about it. There was a van in the middle of the street with a railing around a manhole, and they were working there. Well, as I was leaving, they were packing up, and they left too and went the opposite direction. So I turned around, and I followed them because it was too coincidental for me. So I followed them to a Tex-Mex restaurant in Sandy Springs, Georgia, not far from where I was, and I wait till they sit down at the table. And then I walk in, and I pull up a chair at their table, and I say, okay, what's all this about? And they said, Mr. Moorcraft, now that shook me. That meant they knew my name. Mr. Moorcraft, there was a threat on this man's life, and we were there with sufficient weaponry to make sure that you would not be hurt. Well, I called my friend Larry McDonald. That was on a Monday. And I call Larry McDonald, and I say, Larry, we got the goods on Martin. They were debating a Martin Luther King holiday. And so I told him everything I learned about Martin Luther King from this man named Nick Nichols, who's not living now. That's what I can call his name. And Larry said, well, give me a phone number, and I'll make an appointment with him. And if I can document this, there will not be a Martin Luther King holiday. So that was on a Monday. I give him the name. He was to meet with him on Wednesday. Tuesday night, Nick Nichols had an unexpected heart attack and died. A few months later, Larry McDonald was dead.
Wow.
On the airline. I have a paper somewhere in all my files. Don't anybody ask for it because I don't know if I can find it. But it's a paper Martin Luther King wrote, I think when he was in college at Boston University, where the first part of the paper, he criticizes Martin Luther, says why he disagrees with Martin Luther. Second part of the paper, he says why he disagrees with John Calvin. And the third part of the paper, he says why he disagrees with historic Christianity. And he was a preacher. So this man was a heretic, a womanizer, and God used him in some ways, but I just almost cry every time I think people look upon him as a hero.
And we have time for one or two questions. We have an anonymous listener who says, I fear that leaders in my church have developed doctrinal beliefs solely upon the fact that they highly revere, to an extreme extent, certain Christian heroes, not because the Bible convinced them of it, but because they want to adopt everything these heroes believed and taught. I don't know with 100% accuracy if I am correct, that's why I'm anonymous, but don't you agree that this is a very serious danger?
It is a danger. I tell my people every now and then when I'm preaching, if you believe in some doctrine because I believe it, that's not good enough. There was a young man that was asked for my daughter's hand, and I was trying to lead him into the Reformed faith, and he said that after reading some books I gave him, he said he now agreed with me. I said, well, that's good, but why do you agree with me? If you agree with me just to get my daughter's hand, it doesn't count. he said, no, I believe, agree with you because it is the Word of God. So we can't believe anything simply because the Westminster Confession of Faith or the 1689 Confession believe it. We believe what we believe because it is the Word of God.
Amen. And we're out of time, actually, brother. And for all of you waiting to have your questions answered, we're going to have to wait till next time Dr. Moorcraft returns. I want to thank you so much for being such an exquisite guest, Dr. Moorcraft. I want to repeat your websites. First of all, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com, and comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.